Sounds True presents The Gift of the Blessing with Greg Braden.
At various times in our lives, we find ourselves faced with situations, circumstances, sometimes people, that push us to the very edge of who we believe we are. Sometimes we even find ourselves pushed over that edge, caught up in a seemingly endless cycle of hurt, anger, and rage that seems out of character even to the most spiritually minded people. Almost universally, ancient texts and traditions acknowledge these experiences. They had similar experiences in their time, different circumstances, very similar experiences. And in the words of another time, they describe an inner ability. It's a power that we turn to guide us through precisely such times in our lives. The ancients simply called this spiritual technology communion. Today, however, we know that technology simply as prayer. In the words of their time, those who have come before us describe prayer with an eloquence and a precision. It's direct and to the point. There's absolutely no uncertainty left in our minds when we hear the way they describe the power of prayer, because they say to us that prayer, beyond all other forces in creation, is the single most powerful force in the universe. And it's a power that lives within each of us. We each have direct access to the single most powerful force in creation. Well, through prayer, those who have come before us remind us we're given the ability to participate. I'm going to emphasize the word participate. This is not about manipulation of the world around us, and it's not about control of our world or of others. It simply allows us to participate in the events that unfold in our world, in our lives, and in our bodies. In addition to the traditions of prayer itself, the spiritual masters of our past, they describe yet another aspect of prayer, and this is one that perhaps is overlooked to a greater extent here in the West. It is a forgotten key that allows us to prepare ourselves for our prayers, to prepare our bodies and our minds to accept and receive the power of what they call the greatest force in the universe. Well, perhaps deceptively simple, the name of this technique reflects the eloquence of the process itself. It is simply called the gift of the blessing. It's the way that we use our power of blessing and the power of the prayers from within our hearts and our minds as individuals, as families, as communities. It's the way we use these forces that offer us a message of hope and possibility that becomes our collective answer to what many see as the greatest challenges of our time in history. So the purpose of this program today, what I'd like to accomplish, I'd like to share with you my experience of the gift of the blessing. I'd like to share with you what it is, to describe how it works and why it works. And based on that foundation, together, you and I will go through the three steps of the blessing. And I'll offer you an opportunity to apply this ancient gift, this spiritual technology, to what you see as the greatest challenges and the hurts in your own lives. So if you're like me, when you're listening to an audio like this, you'd like to know where we're going. What can we expect to get from this program? I'm going to begin with a context, why this mode of prayer and why the gift of the blessing is important in our lives. And following that, we'll move directly into how to prepare our bodies and our minds and our hearts to receive the greatest benefit of the power of prayer and blessing, and then move directly into how we apply these things in our lives. As I share this information with audiences throughout the world, whether it's in Europe or in Australia, throughout North America, even places in Asia, what I hear is that every day people say to me they're inundated with visual and verbal images that do literally push them to the limits of their emotions and their sensibilities. And they ask me the same question over and over again. How are we to apply these spiritual traditions in the presence of what the world is showing us today? We need look no further than the magazine covers at the grocery store or the newsstand to be reminded of the hunger and the suffering and the starvation, It's occurring every day in places like Africa, the Balkans, the Middle East. We see continuously the attempts to eliminate entire cultures from the face of the earth, such as the ethnic cleansings that we're seeing in places like the Sudan and Africa, Eastern Europe, portions of Asia. Almost daily we're witness to the aftermath of acts of brutality and violence and hate that make very little sense to rational thinking people. So it's not uncommon in our audiences to hear people ask me the question and say to me, they say that they're surprised at their reactions to such images, the visceral reactions of their judgment, their anger, their hate that rises up within them in response to such situations. So the question that we're all faced with, people on their spiritual paths, people on non-spiritual paths, people who want better lives and are struggling to understand how they can become better people in the presence of what the world is showing us, the question is the same. How are we to gain the benefit of prayer in the presence of such powerful emotions and experiences? How can we pray peace and healing on the one hand while we're witness to such violence and suffering on the other hand? Well, in the lost texts of those who have come before us, documents discovered in the 20th century, such as the Gospel of Thomas from the Nag Hammadi Library, we are shown the answer to precisely such questions. And this is so interesting to me because we do live in such a different time today than those who wrote these texts 2,500 years ago or 3,000 years ago on the one hand. And on the other hand, though the circumstances have changed, the challenges remain the same. Through an ancient spiritual technology, we are shown how we can breathe the power of life into our prayers of health and happiness and abundance and peace for ourselves as well as for others. The key is that in addition to describing the prayers of our past, we are offered very precise instructions describing how we gain the greatest benefit before we begin the prayers, how we prepare ourselves to receive the power of the blessing in the prayer. And the secret is in the ancient gift of the blessing. For those that may be unfamiliar with the gift of the blessing, it simply is a key that turns our hurts into wisdom. It prepares our body and our mind to receive the power of our prayers. To speak about the power of the gift of the blessing in prayer, in the absence of context, however, is almost meaningless. So what I'd like to do is describe a powerful new discovery in Western science that gives even greater meaning to the power of our prayers and blessing and offers a message of hope and possibility to the greatest challenges of our time. A field of intelligent energy that connects all of creation. Western science now acknowledges the existence of this field. It's recognized as what you could think of as a conduit that carries the prayers from within our bodies, beyond the walls of our rooms, to the world beyond our bodies, to the world around us. Between 1993 and the year 2000, Western scientists documented the existence of this field of intelligence, this unconventional energy. And they described it in three ways. They said, first of all, that this field, it's everywhere all the time. It's already there. We are bathed in this field of energy. The places where we think nothing exists, between the nucleus of an atom and its first electron, when we see empty space, this field is there. Between you and the person sitting closest to you, the space where it appears that nothing exists, this field is already there, everywhere, all the time. Secondly, they say this is a field of energy that's been here from the very beginning, from the time that physicists today call the Big Bang. Has been with us always. And thirdly, this field has what they describe as an intelligence. It's an intelligence that responds to very specific kinds of human emotion. And we put these three items together, what we know is that this field is a very powerful ally in helping us to create the kind of world that we choose to create by becoming the kind of people that we choose to become. The field, as many scientists are calling this now, is described as holographic. I'd like to take just a moment to elaborate on what I mean and what the scientists are saying when they describe this field as holographic. In its purest sense, what we can say of a hologram is that it's a pattern. It's a pattern in nature. And it's a pattern where each piece holds all of the information required to reproduce the entire pattern once again. For example, a few years ago, there were a series of bookmarks that were very popular. They were long, thin, shiny strips. They looked like foil. And when you'd hold them in the light, these pictures would become three-dimensional. They'd seem almost to leap out from the surface of the bookmark. And these were considered to be holograms. Well, if they were truly holograms, here is the way a hologram works. In a true hologram, we could take those bookmarks and we could slice them into the tiniest, tiniest pieces that you can imagine. And then we could take those pieces and cut them into even smaller pieces. And if they are truly holographic, in each fleck of what was originally that bookmark, if you were to look under a microscope, you would see the entire pattern in its entirety. It wouldn't be damaged. It would be just the way it was in the original bookmark if it is truly a hologram, because each piece reflects all the information required for the whole. And this is important for us, because scientists now tell us that consciousness is holographic. And the beauty of the principle of a hologram is that within the pattern, if there is a change that occurs in one piece of the pattern anywhere, that change is mirrored throughout the whole. And what that says to us is that little changes in our lives, little changes in the way we feel about ourselves, about our relationship to one another, changes that we feel about our relationship to the world around us and even to a higher power, the way that we share the news that we watch in the television with our families, the way we address one another at the dinner table, those seemingly little changes in our personal lives are mirrored to some degree in the collective whole. And as more and more of us begin to think differently and feel differently about ourselves in positive, life-affirming ways, we can full well expect, through the holographic principle, that those life-affirming changes are mirrored to us in our communities, in our families, and between nations. And this is the power of the hologram. Well, the field that scientists have discovered is so recent, they have not even agreed upon a name for this field yet. There are some that are now calling this the quantum hologram, a very technical-sounding name. Others, such as Dr. Edgar Mitchell, in his work with the Noetic Sciences Foundation, are calling this field nature's mind, the intelligence that underlies all of nature and all of creation. There are scientists now that have delved so deeply into the physical world and are so certain that there is an intelligence that underlies all of creation, they say it must be what they call the mind of God. Well, why is this important to us today? Why is the principle of this field important? It is important because we are living what some of the best minds of our time are calling the greatest challenges in recorded human history. They say that for the first time in the history of our species, we have at our fingertips the power we've never had before to preserve or to destroy all that we love and cherish as a species, and that this is the generation where we learn to apply that power in our lives, where we gain the wisdom to honor the principles of life that are mirrored in that power. And that is why the way that you feel about yourself in every moment of every day is so key, it's so critical to the outcome of the greatest challenge of recorded human history. Albert Einstein said to us, "The significant problems that we face today cannot be solved at the same level of thinking we were at when we created them. We've got to find new ways to look at ourselves and our relationship to the world and one another. The existence of this field of intelligence and our ability to communicate with a field through specific modes of prayer is offering insights into a new science, a new spirituality that has no name as yet. So to explore where our gift of the blessing fits into our paradigm of prayer, what I'd like to do is describe first the way that Western science sees prayer today.